This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد. Respected brothers, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again to my daily talk and our daily discussion, my daily discourse on the topic of family and social disputes, causes and the solutions. Yesterday and the day before, I discussed with you cause number 6 of family disputes, which was anger, and the solution, which I talked about, was sabr, patience. Now we move on to cause number 7. Actually, I intend to complete 10. تلك عشرة كاملة. Go all the way to 10. So inshallah, we don't have much days because I only speak and have this program Mondays to Thursdays. But inshallah, we're moving on to 7, so I have 7, 8, and 9, and 10. Next, 4 more causes of family disputes and the remedies, the solutions, right? And inshallah, I'm actually intending to maybe write a book on this topic as well, based on these discourses, hopefully inshallah ta'ala. So, moving on swiftly to cause number 7 of family disputes. What is cause number 7 for family disputes? This, what I'm going to talk about, and actually cause number 7, 8, and 9, the next 3 causes, are based on a particular surah of the Qur'an. Verses from a particular, and a very important surah of the Qur'an. Verses from a very important, extremely important surah of the Qur'an, which is Surah Al-Hujurat. And if you have time, brothers and sisters, that surah, for the sake of Allah, really read it with understanding, with the translation, with the explanation. And if you can go to a scholar, an alim, and study that particular surah with him, then please do so. It's an amazing surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about many different issues. It's a small, short surah. Many etiquettes. The beginning of the surah, there are verses, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ السَّمِيعُ عَلِيمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Beginning and opening few verses of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the etiquettes that the Muslims, the Sahaba at that time and the Muslims now, have to have the adab and etiquettes towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about mutual etiquettes between Muslims themselves. So the etiquettes and adab that the Muslims should have with other fellow Muslims within family. And there are verses of social interaction, verses that govern social interaction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that particular surah gives us guidelines, gives us commands, guidelines and laws. He sets down laws that we must act upon. And he gives us guidelines that if we act upon them, then inshaAllah we will be saved from all these family disputes and conflict and argumentation and quarrels, etc., etc. Surah Al-Hujarat. Pick the Qur'an up, brothers and sisters. Open Surah Al-Hujarat and read. The next cause of family disputes, 7, 8 and 9. The next three, 7, 8 and 9. I have picked them up and I have extracted all these three causes, the causes from verses of Surah Al-Hujarat. The first verse, the cause that I'm going to talk about today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ. This is verse number 6 of Surah Al-Hujarat. Verse number 6. Surah Al-Hujarat is an amazing surah. Social etiquettes. Allah gives us instructions and guidelines. If you act upon them seriously, many of our problems will be avoided. So in Surah Al-Hujarat, verse number 6, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Subhanallah. An amazing and an extremely important law our Lord and Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sets down. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. I will translate the verse first, and then inshaAllah I will elaborate. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a sinful person, a fasiq, and the scholars actually explain that it's not only restricted to a sinful person, but a non-responsible person comes to you with a news. Naba. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ. Naba is a word in Arabic which is similar to the term khabar. Khabar means news in Arabic as well. Naba also means news, like amma yatasaaluna 'ani an-naba'i al-'azim. Naba. Anba'a yunbi'u. A nabi is also called nabi because of this meaning, because li'annahu yukhbiru 'ani Allah ta'ala, because he informs, he gives news. Nabi. So naba means news. Nabi is the informer who gives the news of the ghaib, of the unseen. So Allah says, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ. If a sinful person, a non-responsible person comes to you with some kind of news, then what does Allah say? What is the command? What do we have to do? فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Verify it. Ascertain its truth. Verify its correctness. Make sure that it's true. Research it. Investigate. Be careful and cautious. Take it with a pinch of salt. And verify its truthfulness and its correctness and its authenticity before doing anything, before embarking upon anything. Allah says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. So that you don't harm someone out of ignorance. You really didn't want to say something, or you didn't really want to harm someone, or you really didn't want to take an action, but because of this news, it was a false news, it wasn't authentic, it was a rumor, for example. So that Allah says that, verify, تَبَيَّنُوا فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ. Out of ignorance, you might harm someone. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And then you will become regretful, you will become remorseful, you will become so sorry and remorseful on what you have done. Amazing verse, Surah Al-Hujarat, of Surah Al-Hujarat, verse number 16. This verse tells us that one of the major, and the next seventh major root for and cause for family disputes is misunderstandings. Misunderstandings. Many of our problems, brothers and sisters and dear listeners, many of our problems in the world they occur because of misunderstandings. Really, many of our problems, they occur in the world because of misunderstandings. Someone was trying to say something and they said something else. You understood something else. Many of our problems are because of misunderstandings. So this verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, that when someone comes to you with the news, verify it. So today's discussion and the seventh cause that we're talking about of family dispute is misunderstandings, misconceptions, misunderstandings, and the remedy, the solution to this family, the solution to this cause is verification. It's verification. Amazing verse of the Quran. If we were to look, brothers and sisters, seriously, many of our problems in this day and age, the problems, the argumentation, the disputes within family members, within first cousins, between husband and wife, they're because of misunderstandings. Many of our disputes, we could really avoid them. It's really a misunderstanding. Seriously, it's a misunderstanding. And we just, you know, someone comes and tells us something, oh, she was, you know, saying this about you. Without any intention of going and seeking the truth and ascertaining the truth of the report, we take action. And then that results in extremely disastrous consequences. Really. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling us that before you do anything, before you embark upon anything, before you rely and you trust what this person is telling you, because this person may have understood in a wrong way. If he says that, you know, I was with this brother and he was saying some really bad things about you. Oh really, he was saying bad things about me, and you say, okay, you know, he's like this and he's like that. And that person was probably not even saying anything about you. Allah says, don't make a mistake like that. Don't trust and rely upon his report. Be careful. Be cautious. Be extremely vigilant. Ascertain the truth of the report. فَتَبَيَّنُوا, the word تَبَيَّنُوا. The Mufassirun, when they explain this word, they say تَثَبَّتُوا. تَثَبَّتُوا. تَبَيَّنُوا. تَبْيِين. And تَثَبَّتُوا means verify its correctness. Be very careful, make sure. And you know this verse, actually, I'll tell you the background of this verse. This, if you look in the commentaries of the Qur'an, the tafsir of the Qur'an, Imam Al-Qurtubi in his tafsir, Al-Jami' Al-Ahkam Al-Qur'an, and Imam Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, and many other commentators, they explain, and they have mentioned the background, what we call sababun nuzul of this particular verse. An incident took place, and I don't want to go into the detail because we have very short time, but an incident took place in the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein, you know, what happened, there was a person who was a Sahabi who embraced Islam by the name of Harith bin Dirar. He was from the tribe of Banu Mustalaq. Banu Mustalaq was a tribe. And the leader of that tribe, Harith bin Dirar, whose daughter actually was the wife, became the wife of them, one of the wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Juwayriya bint Harith. She's one of the mothers of the believers, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, min Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Ummul Mu'mineen Juwayra bint Harith. Her father was the leader of Banu al-Mustalaq, Harith bin Dirar. He accepted Islam, embraced Islam, and he spoke with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came from far, from his tribe, and he embraced Islam. And then he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm going back to my tribe, and you know what, I will give da'wah. I'll preach and I'll make people Muslims, and then I promise that inshallah they will also give the zakat, you know, the charity, annual charity. And when they embrace Islam, because I'm the leader, so I will, you know, tell them to embrace Islam, and then I will regularly collect their zakat, and I will send you the zakat. So can you please, you know, just send one of your you know, ambassadors to me. Send one of your ambassadors to me on a particular given date, and I will make sure by that time I collect all the zakat from the people of my tribe, the Muslims, and deliver it to your ambassador. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, no problem. They fixed the date. Now what happened? Based on that promise, Harith bin Dirar, when he went back, he preached Islam. Many, as a leader of Banu al-Mustalaq, many people embraced Islam. When the date came, before the date, he collected the zakat of all the people and waited for the ambassador of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the ambassador of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come on that date. So he became extremely scared. And he thought, he was fearful. He thought, maybe the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is displeased with me. Something must have gone wrong. Somebody must have said something to him. So otherwise it's not possible for him. It's not out of his character to promise to send an ambassador by this given date and not send him. So he actually was very scared. So he collected his people and he said, look, let's go. Let's all go and visit the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something must have gone wrong. And they went outside their village, and they were about to go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already sent somebody by the name of Walid bin Uqba radiallahu anhu as an ambassador to go to their tribe and collect the zakat. Walid bin Uqba radiallahu anhu, he actually had some kind of, you know, his tribe in the days of ignorance, you know, in the olden days, his tribe had some kind of grievances and enmity with Banu al-Mustalaq. So he was quite fearful. So he actually went as an ambassador of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to collect zakat on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when he was on the way and he saw from afar that these people have come out from their village on the outskirts, he became fearful. And he thought, oh, they've actually come to kill me or something. Because they know, you know, with my tribe and they've had this old enmity. That why have they come out? So he turned back and came back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ya Rasulullah, those people, you know, they're not willing to give zakat, and you know, they wanted to take my life. And actually somebody came and told him something. When he was there, somebody said, you know what, I think they've all come out to take your life. So he ran back and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, you know, they forget zakat. I didn't collect the zakat from them. They did not want to give the zakat. They actually came to take my life. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became extremely sad and angry, and he sent a group of Sahaba as a convoy, Mujahidun, in the leadership of Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu, and said, go and see what's happening. Khalid bin al-Walid went, and they met the group of Harith bin Dirar just outside the village. And they said, why have you come for, as a whole group, to fight us? Said, yeah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the news that you people refused zakat and you came out to kill one of our ambassadors. They said, astaghfirullah, we've not even seen your ambassador's face. We were fearful that no ambassador has come and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upset from us, and we've come out to actually what? Go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and visit him and say to him that, is there anything wrong? Are you sad? Or, you know, are you displeased from us? And is there a reason because of which, you know, nobody's come? Khalid bin Walid said, well, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told that, you know, you actually refused and you came to kill one of his ambassadors and you had wrong intentions. Then all the truth came, you know, into the open, and they said, look, there's been some kind of misconception and this and that. Upon this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verse. He revealed the following command, gave the following law, which was, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, when a person, non-responsible person, comes to you with the news, when a fasiq, a sinful person, comes to you with the news, تَبَيَّنُوا, ascertain its truth. Truth, verify it, because you might do something that you may regret later on. And these misconceptions and misunderstandings, brothers and sisters, seriously contribute to many problems in our societies. Many, you know, if we, wallahi, by Allah, I am telling you, if we are careful, if we act upon this command, this law, this hukm, this injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are very careful, we take everything with a pinch of salt. We verify the truthfulness and the correctness and the authenticity of everything what people say. We don't make hasty decisions. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he actually said, Al-anatu min Allah wal-ujlatu min ash-shaytan. Al-ujlatu min ash-shaytan. That hastiness is actually from shaitan, it's from Satan. Al-anatu min Allah, being calm and composed about your actions, is actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't make hasty decisions. Somebody came and said something, and before you know, you got that rage and pick up the phone. You think, relax, you know, ascertain. You don't know whether it's true or not. If someone makes a complaint about someone that, you know, she was saying this about you, or that person was saying this about you, or he said this, or she made this comment, then relax, take it easy, you know, go to the person in a nice way. Say, look brother, sister, the news has come to me, has reached me, that you were saying exactly this. Is it true? I doubt it. I don't think someone like you would say something like this for a fact, you know, because you're, alhamdulillah, I have husnul dhan about you, good opinion about you. And that's actually our next topic, the husnul dhan. But, you know, ascertain it. Did you really say it? And even if you have, no problem. I am ready to forgive and forget for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I just want to know whether, because, you know, I don't want to have these bad thoughts about you in my mind. So, you know, ascertain the truthfulness of the report. And 90% of the time, really, 90% of the time, 90 times out of 100, you know, you would realize that what was said to you was not really what that person said. Misconceptions, misunderstandings, they create major problems in our communities. Misunderstandings create many problems in our communities, because what happens when someone says something and we believe it and we trust it, and there's a misunderstanding that took place, then what happens? That we have negative thoughts and bad opinions about other people, then we start having hatred in the heart and enmity in the heart, and then we'll backbite, and then that person will say, okay, they said this about me, they're backbiting, and then that's it, it carries on. It results in, you know, major destruction and enmities, and you know, it could even lead to people being killed, physical abuse. In history, that's many, you know, so a lot of the times wars in history, if you look, wars have taken place because of misunderstandings. Really, read the history. Even, I mean, I don't have time, but even, you know, some of those things that took place between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it was some of the hypocrites, the munafiqoon. They actually initiated that with some kind of misunderstanding. A lot of the times it's misunderstanding. So be very careful. Our seventh cause that we're looking at today of family disputes, misunderstandings. Solution is what Allah is saying to us in this verse of Surah Al-Hujurat. Tabayyanu, tathabbut, verification. Make research before, you know, in every news, every information that reaches you, make research, do tahqiq, you know, verification of it, verify it. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that kafa bil mar'i kadiban an yuhaditha bikulli ma sami'a. Another hadith, inna allaha qad harrama alaykum uquq al ummahat. And he mentions a few things. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made such and things forbidden upon you. And then he says, وَقِيلَ وَقَالَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made قِيلَ وَقَالَ haram upon you. قِيلَ وَقَالَ. You know what قِيلَ وَقَالَ means? Whatever a person hears, whatever I hear, I just relate it further without any verification. This is what we call قِيلَ وَقَالَ. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is enough, it is sufficient for a person to become a liar. It is enough and sufficient for a person to be considered a liar. Right? It is enough for him to be called a liar that he says to others everything that he hears. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and remember, you don't have to, you're not only a liar if you intentionally lie. It is enough for you to be a liar. You will also be a liar committing that sin of lying if you tell others everything that falls in your ears without verification, without ascertaining the truth. So it's actually a person, if I hear, for example, someone say something to me and then I tell another person, oh, you know what, I heard this. Without investigating, without researching, without ascertaining the truth, I would be considered a liar. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Therefore, misunderstandings, create a lot of problems in our societies and in our communities, brothers and sisters. Many problems that we find ourselves are because of misunderstandings. So just be very careful. Solution is ascertain. Anything we do, when we hear a news, when any information reaches us, then before taking any action, before saying anything to anyone, what do? First, make tahqiq, research. First, verify the truth of that news, that report, that statement, whatever that's reached you. Then do what you want to do. This is being precautious and vigilant. But the problem is we don't do that. And because of that, we find many problems in the community. And to the point that sometimes we hear something, let alone being extremely careful. Somebody says, you know what, have you heard of this organization? Spreading rumors. You know, rumors, it's a major haram in Islam. A major haram. This organization, it's a money-making organization. Have you heard this? This is an organization working for Islam, for example. I'm not going to name names, but as an example. And that's it. Someone said something that, have you heard that, you know, they make money. It's just a really, you know, money-making organization. That's it. Without picking the phone up, going to them, asking them, investigating, verifying the truth, we tell someone else. And you know what? What do? We actually add a bit more masala to it. Seriously, some people have this really bad habit. An extremely diseased habit. It's a disease of relating information to others, taking things from here, relating it there, adding their own extra bits, extra masala to the conversation, to that statement. It was, maybe initially it was something really minute and small. You know, it may even be something really small, but one person told the next, the second one told the third one said to the fourth one, and then it went to the fifth one. It was passed on to the sixth one, then it was passed on to the seventh one. By the time it reaches the ninth person, it's literally completely different whatsoever from what the person initially said. What the first person made a statement was completely different from what the ninth person is now saying. So this is what we call, you know, spreading rumors, which is a major haram. And we see, you know, when it gets spread and when it gets passed on to the next person, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse is saying, that it's haram. It's a major haram which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. That tabayyanu, ascertain the truth. Tabayyanu, before, let alone, you know, saying it and relating it and passing it on to someone else as it is. Let alone passing it on to someone else as it is. You have to ascertain the truth. But what do? Forget ascertaining the truth. Let alone investigating and making sure it's correct. We pass it on with our own extra bits. And because of that, we find all the enmities and all the fights and all the quarrels and all the dislikes and all the hatreds and all the enmities that we find ourselves in, and all the killing and the murder that takes place on the face of the earth. We have really forgotten this amazing command of Islam, this obligation. We spread rumors. Our societies are filled with rumors. Who said this, and someone said that, and someone said this, and she was... Whenever we hear anything from someone, if anyone comes to us and tells us that this person was talking about you, it's very important, extremely important, especially when people are close to us, that we ascertain the truthfulness of that, you know. Because if we don't, then we will have this hatred in the heart. We'll have jealousy in the heart. We'll have this adawa. We'll have these misunderstandings and evil thoughts about that person in the heart. The job and the work, the responsibility of a Muslim is that when someone comes to him complaining about someone else, that he said this about you, then his responsibility, the farad ayn, is that he goes directly to the person and ask him. Really. But what do? We don't even ask. As I said, we add our extra bits with exaggeration. exaggeration. So this is a, you know, extremely diseased situation that we find ourselves in, that we don't investigate. Many of our, you know, fights and quarrels and disputes that take place within our communities is because of misunderstandings. Take any relationship, brothers and sisters, take any relationship. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, for example. You know, the mother-in-law may have, even if it's direct, there's a misunderstanding. She might be saying something else. She might be saying, you know, that you seem quite ill today, and she's genuinely concerned or something, or you should have taken some medicine. Or she, for example, spoke to her daughter that, you know, the daughter-in-law is quite weak and she's not able to do a lot of work, isn't it? So I think we should, you know, give her some medicine. And then that misunderstanding, the daughter thought that, you know, she is complaining that she's very lazy, and she will come and tell her sister-in-law that, you know, my mother thinks you're really lazy. Seriously, that happens. Now, the mother-in-law actually said that she's quite ill and she's, you know, quite weak. And she was probably quite authentic about what she was saying. She didn't have any ill intention behind what she was saying. She actually just spoke to her own daughter that, you know, your sister-in-law looks quite ill and weak and she doesn't have a lot of energy to work, etc. She was quite genuine about what she was saying. We should maybe take her to the doctor or something. But she came and told the daughter-in-law, my mom's saying you're so lazy. You don't work. You don't work. You're lazy. That's it. Problem. Massive problem. It's like a massive problem in the household. She, straight away, without doing anything, this daughter-in-law, what will she do? You know what she will do. She said, I'm lazy. She'll run upstairs, go to her handbag, pick up a mobile phone, dial her mom. And she starts crying and this and that, and then she will say, mom, you know, I don't want to live here anymore, and I've had enough, and I'm fed up with the lifestyle here. You know, I do this and I do that, and I wake up in the morning and she still calls me lazy and this and that, and you know, I've had enough of it, and I told you, you know, this is not going to work. And you know, subhanAllah, control your mouth, relax. We talked about the tongue, and I talked about, you know, the tongue, how we need to preserve it. And I talked about, you know, anger yesterday as well. And I talked about how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, I've never seen any good in this house, and this, you know, I work as a slave for her and for her son, but she calls me lazy. And the mother, again, same thing, no tahqiq. Nobody's doing tahqiq, nobody's researching, nobody's ascertaining the truth. It was a responsibility of you, O daughter-in-law, that when your sister-in-law came and said this, take you with a pinch of salt. Relax. She's a woman. She must have said something. No, she must have understood wrong. She may not be listening properly. She may be half sleeping. She may be dreaming. It might just be a dream that she's seen. Her mother-in-law might have told her own mother might have said that to her in a dream. How do you know? Relax. Take it easy. You don't have to rush. Hurry. Nothing's going to happen to you. Don't worry about it. Relax. And then in the evening, relax. When you're with your mother-in-law, say, look, mom, sister was saying, which is your sister-in-law, that you were saying that I don't really work, am I a bit lazy? Like, is that true? She said, no, I wasn't saying that. I'm not saying you're lazy. I was saying that, you know, I've seen you for a few days. You're very weak and lethargic. You probably need some iron tablets. You need something to build your energy. End of story. End of matter. But no, if you don't do that, and if you don't act upon this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. This tabayyun, it's an amr. Allah says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا صِيغَةُ الْأَمَرِ. In the Arabic language, amr means a command. It's a law, it's a command that you must do it. Like, أَقِيمُ salah, offer your salah. وَآتُ zakah, give zakah. It's a command, right? It's a command. تَبَيَّنُوا, verify it. So, you did not act upon that command of Allah. You were sinful and guilty. But look at the consequences in your own life. Without verification, without going directly to your mother-in-law and asking her what your sister-in-law said, you directly took action without verification. You ran upstairs and took your phone out and spoke directly to your mom. And you started crying and said all sorts of things. Then look at your mom. Then your mom as well, without investigation, she may be someone who acts upon this verse of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, and may Allah make all mothers like that, and all daughter-in-laws, and everyone like that. I'm just giving an example. If she did, she says, if she does know about this verse, and she acts upon this, what will she do? She say, don't worry, relax. Let me speak to her. I don't think she meant it like that. I don't think she called you lazy. It's probably just a misunderstanding. Relax. Don't worry. And then, you know, after next day, she'll phone, how's everything, how's things, what's happening. And then your mom could probably speak to her directly that, you know, your daughter was actually telling my daughter that she's a bit lazy. Is she lazy? You know, maybe she is lazy, isn't it? She said, no, of course not. I've never said she's lazy. Alhamdulillah, end of problem. Matter sorted. But if your mom as well is not acting upon this command of Sharia, then what will she do? She'll take action as well, without verification. She called my daughter lazy. Okay, you know what, we're coming, pack your bags, we'll take you home. This is not the way Muslims behave. I'm going to tell your dad, and yes, and the next minute, we'll take, pack your bags, and you know, this end of story matter, and then, you know, it just creates problems. That one misunderstanding led to next problem, and the third problem, and the fourth problem. Eventually, the marriage ends. Children suffer. Children are left without parents. They suffer. One misunderstanding, one non-verification of a report led to the destruction of the family. Seriously, it leads to the destruction of the whole family. As I said, wars have taken place because of misunderstandings and not acting upon this command of Sharia. Likewise, take any other scenario at the workplace. The boss said something to one of his workers, and he went and said to the other co-worker, go and investigate. Go and do tabayyun, tathabbut and tabayyun, tabyin, verification, verify the authenticity. Even in a parents-children relationship, your brother or your sister, your sibling might say something to you that, you know, dad really hates you. He told me he hates you. Or mom is saying that she really doesn't like you. She thinks you're the worst child she's ever had. Or something like that. Or if you're married, you know, your sibling comes to you and said, look, mom was saying that you're just, you know, you do everything for your wife, but you don't care about your mom. Now, rather than embarking upon something and making a hasty decision or acting upon this report or doing something, relax. That's the first thing we need to do, relax. Take a calm breath. Have a cup of glass of water, cold water. That's if you're not fasting. Don't take a glass of water right now. If you're not fasting, then take a glass of water. Take it easy, relax, think about it. Think about it first. Let your mind, you know, the problem. One of the problems in our communities is that we do a lot of things without using our brains and minds. We don't let our minds do any work. All our work is done by our hands and our feet and our mouths. Before any of these parts of our bodies do anything, before our hands come into action, before our feet come into action, before our mouth, especially the tongue, starts moving, we should first use our brain. We don't use our brains, we don't think. Couple of minutes, think. Remember the other day, what did I mention? Sayyiduna Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, the great Imam, when someone would come and speak to him, he would not respond. He would look down for a minute or two and then respond. Somebody asked him, Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, somebody asked him and said, oh Imam, why don't you respond straight away? What takes you so long? When you look down and then after 2 minutes you respond. When someone asks you a question, when someone speaks to you, you think for like 2 minutes and then you respond. Why do you do that? He said, Hatta a'rifa anna al-khayra fil kalami aw fi sukut. Hatta a'rifa anna al-khayra fil kalami aw fi sukut. So that I know whether it's better for me to speak or remain quiet. So you're using your brain. Before doing anything, we must use our brain. And this verse of the Quran, I mentioned the sabab al-nuzul, you know, the incident behind it between Harith bin Dirar and Walid bin Uqba. This misunderstanding that took place, because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, this amazing and extremely important verse and command. And that tells us that we must be very careful when we pass on information to others. Some of us, unfortunately, especially this happens a lot in the Asian community. And I have to say this. I'm part of the Asian community, so I don't feel anything wrong that I should say this. But it happens a lot in our Asian communities. We have this really bad disease of what we call in our own language, panchad, inverted commas. It's a very bad habit. Sometimes we don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's haram according to Islam. We don't even think Islam has anything to do with it. Islam has everything to do with it. A few people sit down and gossip and gossip and gossip, spread rumors and talk about the whole world. They were doing this and she was doing that and she was doing this and he was doing this. Concentrate on your own life, brother, sister. The one who is طوبى لمن شغله عيوبه عن عيوب الناس. The one who is concerned about his or herself will never have time, will never find time to think and talk about other people. Really. The one who is extremely ill and sick, a person who has cancer, will have no time to think about somebody's headache. If we think we have aibs, and we all do, we are all sinful, we won't have time to sit there and gossip and do inverted commas panchad. This is a problem in our community, especially the Asian communities. It's just that we like to sit and gossip and then relate information and spread rumors. And as I said, add our own bits to all the conversations. Small things that end up becoming major issues of the community. When we hear someone said something, and this happens in religious matters as well. You heard someone said something in a talk. Oh, you know, this Mawlana, this Shaykh said this in his talk. Relax, don't tell anyone. First go, speak to him, go and visit him, give him a phone call. Did you really say this? Sometimes someone asks a Shaykh a question and he responds, he misunderstood, related it to someone else. That someone else told someone else, and it goes on and on and on, and you know, it's like people adding their own stuff to it. And at the end of the day, the 12th person who received that information, what he received was 100 degree different from what the actual Sheikh said. Seriously, and that's actually happened. One of my teachers, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, hafidhahullah, he mentions a story. He talks about his own self. That once, you know, somebody asked him a question. That if you listen to the Qur'an, which is played on the radio, for example, or on this, you know, a recorded, Qur'an is recorded, whether it's on the radio or a cassette player. If you listen to it, do you receive reward? So he responded and he said, inshallah, yes. It is hoped from the rahmah, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if a person listens to recorded Qur'an, he will get the reward. However, it is still better. This is what he said. It is still more virtuous and there's more reward in listening to live Qur'an. So somebody asked him a question that if you listen to the Qur'an which is recorded and it's played, do you get the reward? He said, yes, it is hoped from the rahmah and mercy of Allah that you will get reward inshallah, but to listen to the Qur'an live from someone, there's more reward. That's it. That's what he said only. That's it. Now that person told the second person. The second one went and passed on that information to the third individual. The third individual passed it on to the fourth one. The fourth one passed it on to the fifth one. The fifth one to the sixth one, and carried on. And then Shaykh Taqi Uthmani, hafidhahullah, says that one day I received a letter, a massive letter. Somebody said, oh Shaykh, I was in some other city of Pakistan. I was sitting in the talk. I attended a talk given by such and such Sheikh. In his talk, in Jumu'ah, when he was giving his lecture, he quoted you, and you said, and he quoted you saying, and he said, that Sheikh Taqi Usmani says that listening to the Qur'an on a tape recorder, on a cassette player, a recorded Qur'an, is similar to listening to unlawful music. Sheikh Taqi said that I told him that, you know what, forget me saying that. Even my angels, you know, the Kiram and Katibin sitting on my shoulders, they've probably never heard of this. They don't even know of this. He only said that, you know, it's actually more rewarding listening to the Quran live, and the news ended up being that he said that listening to the Quran on a recording is like listening to music. That happens in our communities. We just spread rumors and information without any verification. We should be such brothers and sisters. We should think, Allah says in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every statement, every phrase, every pronouncement, every word, every statement that comes out from our mouths, there's an angel recording it. We should have this conscious. We should realize this fact. Everything that comes out from our mouths, anything that we do, whatever we write, any letter, word we write, if we are writing an article, or every statement that we make, we should first think that, you know what, I will have to prove, I will have to justify. I will have to justify this statement or this writing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you're sitting on a conversation, right? Right now, for example, I know I have loads of people listening to me. I'm careful about the words that are coming out from my mouth because I know hundreds of people are listening to me. Imagine you're sitting somewhere and someone says to you, okay, start talking, and we have some CIDs recording. Everything is being recorded, your conversation. How careful will we be? We'll be extremely cautious and vigilant and make sure that not even one word or letter comes out from our mouths that come back to haunt us later on. We'll be extremely careful. Seriously, we'll be extremely careful. If that's the case in this world, what about the Akhirah? The court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every word, every statement will need to justify. Every word and every statement will need to justify in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't make hasty decisions. Don't spread rumors. And act upon this verse of the Quran. Make, you know, be extremely careful and cautious. Always verify the authenticity of a report. And if we do that, inshallah, many of our problems will be solved. So think about it in your own life. Look at the problems that are created within your own family, the disputes. Many of them are really to do with misunderstandings. Sometimes when you're debating, when you're arguing with someone, you actually, both of you agree upon one central point, but you're both disagreeing on something because of looking at it from two different angles. Seriously, many of our disputes are of this nature. One person is arguing with you because he's saying this, this, you saying no, no, but you're looking at it from one angle and he's looking at it from another angle. The central point you both agree upon. Like they mentioned this famous incident story, there were four or five blind people, they were all taken to visit a elephant. They all felt the elephant. One felt the tusk of the elephant. The other one felt the back. The other one felt the foot. When they came back, somebody asked them, how does an elephant feel like? They never saw it. They were blind. One said, you know, rock solid. It's like a metal. It's like a stone. Because he, you know, felt the tusk of the elephant. Other said it was very, you know, like chubby and fatty. everyone, you know, all of them, they were all describing the elephant in a different way. But there was no disagreement because they all felt different parts of the elephant. Likewise, when sometimes there are argumentations, people are looking at the issue from different angles, from different viewpoints. And Islamically as well, many of our ikhtilafat, many of the differences of opinion that take place between the different sects and the different schools of thought and different backgrounds, whatever the name, I don't want to use the names, because we are all Muslimun. Allah says, هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا. We call ourselves Muslims first and foremost. Many of these differences that we find ourselves in and find Muslims in and you know, different sects being created, if you look deep and in reality, seriously, you will find that the central point is agreed upon by all the parties. It's just how you look at it. Look within your families as well. Many disputes could be avoided because of misconceptions and misunderstandings. Many disputes could be avoided because of misunderstandings. So this particular verse of the Quran that we really need to act upon, and the six cause misunderstandings and misconceptions. What is the solution? Be extremely careful, be vigilant, act upon the verse of the Quran, which is tabyin and tathabbut. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. That verify the authenticity of the report. And inshallah, if we do so, many of our disputes that we find ourselves in will be avoided. So that was cause number 7 and the solution that we talked about today. Inshallah, as I said, the cause 8 and cause 9 that we're going to be talking about are taken from Surah Al-Hujarat in the following few verses. And then we'll have cause number 10. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and that we benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the ability, the tawfiq, to act upon what I say, and grant all of you the tawfiq, because we have to implement all of this. Remember, all of this is not just for entertainment. Radio is not for entertainment. It's to better our lives. Not just to entertain ourselves and just, you know, relax in the month of Ramadan. It's to better our lives. We learn something from it so that our lives are better in this world and in the next world. So really, act upon these things, inshallah. Bring them about in your lives. And pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide me, to guide yourselves and the whole of mankind, and the whole of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting, our siyam, our qiyam, our taraweeh. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.